This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by The Capital Grille. Yeah. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas
podcast. That's what I'm talking about.
And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Now sing it, Brother Scott.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. That there is what you call a groovy crowd. And by the way, hey, let me be the first to congratulate you, my friends, because you are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates here from Las Vegas, which means that I'm not only going to be talking about what it's like to live here, but we're going to be talking about adventures on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, other cool places here in the valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, maybe you're even thinking of moving to our fair city. Well, guess what? Our show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Again, that's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Don't forget the /live because that'll get you into the live chat area. We're also right now live streaming to Facebook. Hello, Facebook. And to YouTube as well. And like Christina Aguilera will say, come on over. Come on over, baby. Be a part of the fun. Get yourself in the live chat. You're going to meet some of the coolest, down-to-earth, non-political people. You should be in the live chat right now. You're ever going to meet. They're fantastic people. They're from all over the place. I've got Vegas and Henderson in California, Oregon, Florida. Washington, Illinois, Canada. They're everywhere. And the cool thing is, along with watching the show as it's being produced, we do a pre-show where we probably start 15, 10 minutes before the show, kind of give people a little hint of what's going on, gives a chance for the live chat people to get some questions in for one of our segments. And then we do a post-show, and that's after we're done recording the show for distribution, well, we hang out for another half hour or so and kind of give you the behind-the-scenes look, maybe some of the things that we couldn't talk about in the live show, but we'd share with the folks who are hanging out in the live chat. Hey, by the way, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? I am the host of this show, the founder of the Vegas Video Network, and I also own Podworks, which owns all this crazy stuff. So, on behalf of myself, thanks for watching this show, and behalf of all the shows on the network, thanks for checking out the Vegas Video Network. By the way, our over-under today, oh, let's go 65 and a hook. Also, we've got some folks new in the live chat. Let's say hi to Seattle Steve. Seattle Steve comes from, wait for it, that's right, West Seattle. His name is, in fact, Steve. And he found us on the YouTube via the suggested video panel thing. So thanks to YouTube for getting out there. Okay, let's get this party started. Boom, ba-doo, doo. So, what did this election mean to those of us here in Las Vegas? Well, no rioting. Okay. So, when we did this show at exactly this time last week, the election was going on. And quite frankly, the people who were in the live chat, I think most of them weren't really watching the show. They were mostly watching the election results, which if I wasn't doing the show, hell, I would have done the same thing. And as we were going on, we had folks in the live chat who kept providing you know, the results. And so the early results were coming in, and it was kind of crazy. You know, at the very beginning, double digits, Trump was ahead. And we're all kind of looking around going, is this really happening? Who would have guessed? Now, I'm a Republican. I believe in, you know, the Republican values. I'm kind of a Republican guy, but maybe a social liberal. In other words, I believe in smaller government. I believe in lowering taxes, both on personal folks and on businesses. I'm a small business guy. You know, make it easier for me to run my business. Make it easier for me to hire. So I'm a Republican-y kind of guy. But quite frankly, and I said this on Facebook, that, you know, this is the whole voting for the lesser of two evils. And I think that if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil. So I voted. I just didn't vote for either one of those two knuckleheads. But nonetheless, this all happened. And I'll be honest with you, when the results were coming in, you know, especially after I finished the show and you know, went into the house, it wasn't done yet. And I felt like, ooh, shit, this is going to happen. And I had a little weird feeling in the pit of my stomach, like, what? We're going to actually elect this guy. What the fuck is going on here? And I just kind of watched. And I probably stayed up till, I don't know, 1 o'clock. I wanted to watch the whole process. I wanted to see what was going to happen here. And I did. And when the moment Trump carried, when the moment he was elected president, or became president-elect, I, you know, the first thing I did is I kind of moved around channels. And by the way, you want to see a bunch of sad adults, go to CNN or MSNBC. Right after, I mean, there are people crying on there. I mean, hey, media bias much? No. Now, Fox, you know, they weren't running up and down, jumping up and down, but, you know, they were a lot less unhappy than MSNBC was. But as I was thinking about it, you know, the thing that that struck me was I was kind of excited. I'm a big change guy. I like change. I like seeing that thing happen. And I was really excited that this happened in America, because what really took place here, of course, is that the people stood up and they said, we're not happy with what's happening in Washington, D.C. And the media clearly didn't get that. And the Democrats didn't quite get that. Actually, Bill Clinton knew a bit about what was going on, but he was ignored from within his own party. And so America went up and said, yeah, we're not real happy with this, and we're going to make a change. And that excites me. I'm a little worried about, you know, the Trumpster. I'm not really sure where his head's at. I will say this. When he did his acceptance speech, I was happy with it. I thought, okay, well, that was well done. Well, yeah, but it was on a teleprompter. Of course it was on a teleprompter. You know, Obama, he gets this rap for being a great speaker. He's a great speaker when he has a teleprompter in front of him. But if he's just on his own trying to be off the top, he's no better than anybody else. And he does a bunch of uhs and ers and things. Yeah, look at. But he, you know, so Trump did the teleprompter thing, and I thought it was well done. I was even happier after he met with Obama. And they both, you know, came away seeming like it was a pretty good discussion. And you know, I think President Obama has done a nice job of not being, you know, jerkish about this. And you know, look, I don't know how they do it. Those guys were just kicking the crap out of each other verbally. And then the next thing you know, they're, you know, I'm inviting the guy over to my house. So you got to tip your hat to Obama for being able to do that. And, you know, thank God that, you know, Trump figured it out and wasn't a dick there as well. So I don't know. But there was, it affected us here in Nevada as well. So first of all, if you look at what Trump did in Nevada, it was pretty fascinating. He carried every county in Nevada, with the exception of two. He did not carry Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is, and he didn't carry Washoe, which is where Reno is. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't really know. The problem with that is that Clark and Washoe are the two largest counties in Nevada. So Clark has 2.1 million. I forget how many are in Reno, but the whole state has about 2.8 million. So understandably, even though he took most of Nevada physically, He didn't take where it was. Now, how much did he get? This is kind of interesting. Clinton, for all the people who voted in Nevada, Clinton got 537,000 and some change. So 537,000. Trump got 511,000. So the difference there is about 2.5%. Not a huge difference, but enough to win, right? Now, Johnson, who was the lunatic independent guy, he got 37,000 votes, which is more than the difference between Clinton and Trump. Interesting, right? And you hear this all the time, you know, the third party candidates are screwing up the election. No, they're not. That's the play. I think that's great. Remember Ross Perot? God bless that little big-eared guy, crazy bastard. I love that guy. I voted for Ross Perot. And here's the thing that I thought was interesting. None of the above, which is what I voted for. None of the above in Nevada got 28,800. So about 29,000. Again, more than the difference between Clinton and Trump. So if they were able to get both Johnson and none of the above, that was 50,000. That's twice as many as the difference between the two. I thought that was pretty fascinating to me. Morgan Dollar, what's going on, my brother? But what we're going to be talking about today primarily is we had some ballots, some ballot questions that affect pretty much, at least one of them affects every adult in the state. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about what we're up to here. So we had five ballots here in Clark County, four of which were state-based and one of which was just for Clark County. And the first one was the question of getting background checks if you buy a gun. So here's what it said. The way it was written was, shall Chapter 202 of the Nevada Revised Statutes be amended to prohibit, except in certain circumstances, a person from selling or transferring a firearm to other persons unless a federally licensed dealer first conducts a federal background check on the potential buyer or transferee. So this was a pretty hotly contested ballot item. There was a great deal of money behind this particular ballot, and some big names got behind it as well. From a money perspective, I thought this was interesting. I didn't realize how much money was being brought in for this until I did some research today about this show. I want you guys to think about this. So live chat, you guys can play along a little bit here. Guess how much money was raised in support of this? How much money was raised in support of this ballot amendment to require background checks for anybody who sells a gun, whether you buy it from a store, which is already being covered, or if you buy it from an individual? So Pops is $80 million. I'll give you a couple guesses here. We'll start with, let's say, $10 million. Let's do $15 million. Let's do $20 million. Let's do $30 million. And that should already tell you that's a lot of money. I mean, that's cash donations, man. So Binky, we got, Jimmy's got $15 million. Binky's got $30 million. Barb's got $20 million. DJ's got $30 million. Pops is $80 million, as I mentioned before. So they brought in $19 million. They spent $18.3 million on this campaign. This was for the folks who were for it. For the folks who were against it, instead of $19 million, they brought in $6.5 million. So the way this particular bill works, let me just bring up this information here because it's... It was a little confusing to a lot of people, and there was a variety of folks who were for it and against it. The people against it included the attorney general and the governor, which is, you know, surprising, you would think. But I want to find where it says what this all entails, because it's let's see here. It's up here a bit more. There we go. By the way, it passed. I should probably mention that. It passed with a 558 million or 1,000 people voted, 50.45%. So it barely passed versus 49.55%. So it passed, by the way, in Clark County, 56% almost 57%, but statewide it was 50%. So again, you can see Clark County is kind of the bully pulpit here, that we get to play this game. So here's how this works for folks moving forward. And I had some issues with a few of these issues, I guess, a few of these points that made me uncomfortable. And I figure it's going to put people in a bad place who really don't need to be in a bad place. So this ballot measure proposes to prohibit, except in certain circumstances, any person who is not a licensed dealer, importer, or manufacturer of firearms from selling or transferring a firearm to another unlicensed person unless that licensed dealer first conducts a background check on the buyer or transferee. To request the required background check, the law would require both the seller transferer and the buyer transferee to appear jointly with the firearm before a federally licensed firearm dealer. So they both got to come into the place with the gun. The background check would be conducted using the National Instant Criminal Background Check System administered by the FBI, and the federally licensed dealer would be able to charge a reasonable fee. That was one of the issues that I had with it, was they don't say what that means, for conducting the background check and facilitating the transfer between the two people. There is some confusion that I got from there, which was basically it sounded like that they hand the gun over to the dealer, to the guy doing the background check, and he holds that gun until it's been approved. So it feels a little bit like a gun hostage. I don't know if that's true or not, but there are some people talking about it. So the measure would establish various exemptions to the mandatory background check, which includes the sale or transfer of a firearm by or to any law enforcement agency. To the extent he or she is acting within the course of scope of his or her employment or official duty, the sale or transfer of a firearm by or to any peace officer, security guard entitled to carry a weapon, member of the armed forces, or a federal official, the sale or transfer of antique firearms, the sale or transfer of firearms between immediate family members, defined as spouses and domestic partners, as well as parents, children, siblings, grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews, whether whole or half-blood, adoption or step-related, and the transfer of a firearm to an executor, administrator, trustee, or personal representative of an estate or trust that occurred by operations of law dependent upon or upon the death of the former owner of the. Certain temporary transfers of the firearm without a back check would also be allowed under the measure, as long as temporary transfer is to a person who is not prohibited from buying or possessing a firearm. So, for example, temporary transfer required to prevent an imminent death or great bodily harm. So if my friend Bill is about ready to get the shit kicked out of him, apparently I can hand him a gun. Of course, wouldn't I just shoot the guy myself? Temporary transfers at an established shooting range authorized by the governing body of the jurisdiction in which the range is located, temporary transfer at a lawfully organized competition involving the use of firearms, temporary transfer while participating in or practicing for a performance by an organized group that uses firearms as part of the public performance. That could be either the Bloods or the Crips. Temporary transfer while hunting or trapping, if the transfer occurs in the area where hunting or trapping is legal and the transferee holds all licenses and permits required for such hunting and trapping, or temporary transfer while in the presence of the transferer. That's what people don't understand. The fine, by the way, starts off at $1,000, up to a year in county jail. If you do it a second time and you're convicted, it's a Category C felony. 1 to 5 years in state prison, $10,000 deal. I think the biggest issue that most people had was, I would have violated this law in the past because I used to shoot when I was a young adult with a buddy of mine. He had a bunch of guns. I had a couple guns. And we were not in a shooting range that was federally allowed. And I used his gun and he used my gun. Now it says that if the transferee is in the presence then maybe it was okay. But if he lent me that gun and I went off on my own, that is illegal today or coming up in Nevada. So again, pretty close ballot. Interesting the way it worked out. Not convinced that everybody knew what they were getting into when they got into it. The second one, and this will affect everybody in some way or another, is shall the Nevada revised statute be amended to allow a person 21 years or older to purchase, cultivate, possess, or consume a certain amount of marijuana or concentrated marijuana, as well as manufacture, possess, use, transport, purchase, distribute, or sell marijuana paraphernalia. Impose a 15% excise tax on wholesale sales of marijuana. Require the regulation and licensing of marijuana cultivators, testing facilities, distributors, suppliers, retailers, and all. So, for number two, it was passed. 54, almost 55% of the voters said, yeah, let's get high. And 602,000 folks. That was statewide. For us in Clark County, it was a little bit more than that. It was 56%. And basically the biggest concern people had here was the ability to be close to children. The statute actually, that was a lot of that was just kind of a bullshit scare tactics. It that was pretty much covered. Let's talk about how much money was thrown into this. I thought this is kind of interesting. Let me get on down there. Okay. All right, here we go again, folks. How much money was donated to this cause? Much, much lower money. Cash donations. There's two groups, the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol and the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Committee. Together, they raised $4.1 million. They spent $3.7 million. What do you think that they do with that other, what, $400,000? By rolling papers, I'm going to assume. Opposition. Now, this opposition, you know, pretty close to the same amount. It was $3.4 million, and they damn near spent it all, $3.3 million. Didn't work. Didn't come through. You know, the issue, a lot of the issues had to do with, again, being around kids. Also, where the money was going to come from and who gets to do this. And it's quite frankly, I thought it was a little confusing. Let's see if I can get some. Yeah, this is good stuff here. So the this is great stuff. The ballot measure proposes to amend this, as I said, older purchase to consume 1 ounce or less of marijuana other than concentrated marijuana or 1/8 of 1 ounce of marijuana plants for a person. Oh, I'm sorry. It would also make it lawful for a person 21 years age or older to cultivate not more than 6 marijuana plants for personal use, as well as obtain and use marijuana paraphernalia. The ballot measure would also allow for the operation of marijuana establishments. By the way, if you go to, for those of you who hang out at Spearmint Rhino, and I don't hang out there, but I drive by there a lot because it's part of my secret way to get from the west side to the strip. My guess is if you go to Spearmint Rhino now, you're going to meet a much happier clientele and the people who work there. Why? Well, right behind Spearmint Rhino is a monstrous marijuana growing place. I think it's called Reef or the Reef or the Reef or something like that. I think it's the Reef. And every time you drive by there, the first time I drove by there, I thought I hit a skunk. Remember the term skunk weed at high school, allegedly? Well, this place smells like skunk. And so that smell is rafting right into Spearmint Rhino. So I'm assuming that these guys have a fantastic contact high now. So I don't know if that helps people spend more at strippers, but I think they're all going to be happier. Moving forward, for the first 18 months, the Department of Taxation would only accept license applications for retail marijuana stores, retail or marijuana product manufacturing facilities, and marijuana cultivation facilities from persons holding a medical marijuana establishment registration certificate. Similarly, for the first 18 months, the Department of Taxation would only issue marijuana distributors licenses to persons holding a Nevada wholesale liquor dealer's license. Isn't that interesting? Unless the department determines an insufficient number of marijuana distributors would result from this limitation. No place could be within 1,000 feet of a public or private school or 300 feet from a community center. The counties with population greater than 700,000, up to 80 retail marijuana store licenses, with no greater or greater than 100,000, but less than 700,000, 20 retail stores, and it goes on from there. I think it's pretty interesting. Quite frankly, I'm one of those guys who believes, listen, I don't believe in the concept of regulating what people put in their body. There's no question that I've seen some people drink and become angry. I've never met an angry high guy. I've met a lot of people driving drunk who probably shouldn't drive. Now, there's been talk that in Colorado, there's been an increase in marijuana-based DUI or whatever they call it, driving while intoxicated or under the influence. So that's an issue for sure. But again, if you're an adult, I say drink what you want, smoke what you want, take what you want. It's not my problem. It's your body. But just be smart about it. And that's, I think that's pretty much the way the electoral call or the electric felt the same way. All right. Let's see. Which one is this one? Question number three. Shall Article 1 of the Nevada Constitution be amended to require the legislator to provide law for the establishment of an open, competitive retail electric energy market that prohibits the granting of monopolies and exclusive franchises for the generation of electronic or for electricity? This wasn't even close. And I would argue the kerfluffle that happened because of solar, as a result of Solar City being, in essence, well, not kicked out. They basically left. So 76% of the vote said, yeah, absolutely, let's open this thing up. 23% said no. That was statewide. Oh, I'm sorry, that was in Clark County. Statewide, it was 54%. You know, I this was really about a PR thing, for one thing. And a lot of people are, well, you know, Envy Energy, listen, they're like every monopoly that, I mean, I've, you know, PG&E is a monopoly where I used to live. And so the argument against it was that the states that have actually done this have actually got beat up. California is one of them, they said. Let's look at who is actually backing this stuff. Who supported it? Henry Reid. That's not surprising. Let's see. Let's get some money in here. Who opposed it? Nobody you would know. Campaign finance. Okay. So support the Nevadans for affordable clean energy choices. They got $3.4 million. Now, help me with this. They got $3.4 million. They spent $1.9 million. What are they doing with that other $1.5 million? What's the law on that? Does anybody here know? I'm not sure if the live chat would know that, but if anybody's listening or watching, I'd be fascinated to know where's that money go? I think Ordinary Pops is saying it goes in their pocket. But is that really the way it works? I think that's bad. So the supporters got $3.4 million. The people against this, $910,000. Who were the biggest supporters for this? Well, here's a shock. Las Vegas Sands put in $1.9 million. Switch put $1.5 million. And MGM Resort, a whopping $10,000. Now, Sands and Switch have actually challenged the Envy Energy to say, we don't want your energy. We should be allowed to do our own. And Envy Energy said that you can't do that. If you do that, it costs more money for us to run this stuff, and that's not fair. And so legislation got involved. And I think it was Switch, maybe Ted knows, Switch or Sands. One of those guys said, fuck it, we're leaving. And they're going to pay, it might be MGM, they're going to pay this unbelievable amount of money, what, $30, $40, $50 million. Here's $30 million. Now we don't have to use your energy anymore. Isn't that nuts? I think that's insane. So that was passed. We'll see how that goes. I don't really sure. Oh, by the way, the other people supporting this was, not surprisingly, Suns, you know, the Solar City folks, among other folks. And we'll see. Quite frankly, I've always thought that the utilities here in Las Vegas were pretty good, especially compared to the Bay Area, especially water. I mean, water here, I live in the desert. And, you know, I mean, I pay a lot of money for water, but it's not like, I mean, I use a lot of water. And it's like pennies on the dollars compared to what we paid for. When we first moved here, when we were up in Aliante, I'm like, wait. Why aren't they charging us for water? Oh, $10. What do you mean $10? I just filled up a pool. How can that be $10? It was really weird. And then the final one I want to talk about has to do with our roads here in Las Vegas. And this one actually was kind of interesting. Basically, it said, shall Clark County continue indexing fuel taxes to the rate of inflation through December of 2026? The proceeds of which will be used solely for the purpose of improving public safety for roadway use, reducing traffic congestion by constructing and maintaining the streets and the highways of Clark County. 56% said yes, 43% said no. A lot of signs here said keep improving our roads. Now, here's the deal that the reason why I believe this passed. I voted yes for this, by the way. The reason is because of this. There's little question, there's little doubt that the growth of Las Vegas, and it's slowed now, but it's beginning to happen again. For a while, when we first moved here, when we first started doing the show, 5,000 people were moving here a month. It was 60,000 people net coming here a month. I mean, a year. Holy shit. And so, you know, growing from hundreds of thousands to millions to 2.x million people, that put a great deal of downward pressure on the infrastructure of Nevada, and especially of Las Vegas, Clark County, all of this area here. And we're beginning to see it now. So we've kind of pumped the brakes a little bit. We've got a little time to breathe. And what you're going to hear from most locals is they continually complain and bitch about road construction. You know, basically every east or west to east road in Las Vegas below, let's say, 95, has construction going on. Yellow cones, orange cones everywhere. But here's the scoop. Good. Fuck. You know, before it was horrible and roads were falling apart, potholes, bullshit like that. The spaghetti bowl, which is basically where 95 and 15 cross, hopefully they fix this. There was an accident every day. I used to drive by that before we moved. There was an accident every single day northbound, usually right off of Sahara. Going north on 15. Hopefully they're going to fix that and deal with the congestion. Now they're going to spend a shitload of money on this, but this is the time to do it. We're growing slower. It's a bit more manageable. Now's the time to fix this stuff so that when and if it starts to grow fast again, we're ready for it. Right? So that's it. Pretty fascinating time. I tell you, Facebook... you want to see panicked people on not just the presidential election. Holy shit, there were some panicked people after that. But even on these ballots, it's pretty interesting. I just want everybody to know we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. No one's going to hurt you. We're all in this together. At the end of the day, America is a great country. We are in a pretty groovy state. It's a little screwed up here and there. But we're going to be okay, everybody. We're going to have a good time. All right. You know what? I think it's time for a little listener email. Now it's time for listener email. Oh. Yeah. Calm down, snowflake. The live chat is in it, baby. All right. Time for listener email. But before we do that, let me say again, welcome to the Capital Grill as our new sponsor. It is no secret to anybody who has listened or watched this show for any amount of time that the Capital Grill is far and away my favorite restaurant in all of Las Vegas. Numero uno, the number one. It's the place I go. best steaks in Las Vegas. Wait, Scott, aren't there some of the biggest chefs in the whole world here? Yep. Have you ever eaten any other steaks? You don't get this look by not having a ribeye here and there. And guess what? It's the best steak in the whole world. Best bartenders. These are real bartenders. They know what they're making. And you know what? They also educate. They'll teach you. Hey, you want to know what this tastes like? Well, let's bring this down. Let's try this out. Best servers. These people are real waiters. They're not some actor biding their time, hoping to get on, I don't know, Baz or whatever. These people are professional waiters. The guy who we normally see, been doing it for 30 years. It's got a great location. It's at Fashion Show, third floor, right across from the Wynn. Great view of the Strip. As a matter of fact, the last two New Year's Eves we've had, Melissa and I went to Capitol Grill. So whether you're a local, a tourist, here's what I'm going to tell you. Just treat yourself to an amazing dinner. Do it at least one time to see what I'm talking about over at the Capitol Grill. By the way, live chat people are like, hey, do you get a discount? Nope. They're advertisers. Figure it out. Okay, question number one from Jack. Jack writes, hi, Scott. We just discovered your podcast on YouTube a few weeks ago. Truly enjoy it. Very saddened by the news about Brett, your co-host and friend. Take care of the boys from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, Terry and Jack. Thank you very much, Terry, or Jack, I'm sorry, or Jack and Terry. I'm not sure which one wrote this. Let's go with Jerry. Jerry, okay. Thanks, I've been getting, I'm still receiving condolences about Brett. I really appreciate that. He's a good guy. And I think I'm touched by how you all responded to that. You know, that's part of the power of podcasting is the closeness that the hosts have with the people who are listening or watching. The live chat's a perfect example of that. But, you know, it was interesting. Actually, it was a very awakening moment as I heard from people who I'd never heard from before. People who told me they'd been listening to the show or watching the show for years, you know, and but they've never reached out to me. Oh, here we go. It's Jake the Rake, 1949. It was Jack who wrote that. He's in the live chat. Look at that. Jake the Rake. Hey, brother. But it's pretty cool to create this medium that allows such an intimate connection between the folks who are putting on the dog and pony and the folks who are ingesting the dog and pony. So thanks to Jack thanks to these guys, Jack and Terry, for the nice words. And thanks to everybody else there's been a couple who I haven't read, but I appreciate the sentiment. This is from Gene, also known as Pops. Dear Scott, I believe you said before that you don't do demos or videos for bands. Are there any recording studios in Vegas for artists or bands to record CDs and videos? Yeah, probably about 20 of them. The nicest of which is at Palms, which is now owned by Station Casinos. Also, where the hell does everyone rehearse? There's a lot of rehearsal. Now, I'm not in that business, so I don't know. But I think there's a lot of those types of places. There's also a lot of video studios on the west side of 15, down just north of 215. A lot of that kind of warehouse space. You know who to ask would be Bryce. Bryce produces a bunch of shows, and they do a lot of rehearsals there. There must be a zillion acts forming, reforming, putting a show together, and the days of the garage band are surely over. So are there any areas where rehearsal space can be found at a reasonable rate? Yeah, I mean, there. You know, Vegas is, it doesn't cost a lot to do things in Vegas as a practice. So, and I think rehearsal rates or rehearsal spaces are competitive. And quite frankly, most of the entertainers here, musicians here, don't have a lot of money. So, you know, you've got to, it's a pricing elasticity question. How much can you charge and how many people will pay for that? And I think those guys are doing that. There's a space opening up right now that I think is going to be focusing on that. I think they're going to learn a lesson about, you know, what these folks can do. And by the way, for those of you who watch the entertainment world here in Vegas closely, some 20 plus shows have closed down or are closing down in this year. 2016 was, you know, like Armageddon for shows here. So some really talented people now are scrambling. And I'm already seeing people leaving Las Vegas. People who had shows at, you know, names that you would recognize. We're I'm talking to Travis Kloer right now to have him come in to talk a little bit about what he's doing, but also just talk about the business of being in show business. He was Frankie Valli at Jersey Boys. He came from Broadway and came out here. He's been here since the beginning, which is, I think, 7 or 8 years. And he's out of a job now. And so now he's trying to figure out his own thing, trying to figure out what the hell to do. As a matter of fact, I reached out to him about with a question, and he's in New York City right now doing a gig. I think he's doing cruise ships. He's out hustling, and he's also, you know, working on shows. He's performed in a couple places. He's got a Christmas thing coming up. He's done a couple times at Smith Center. So I think it'll be interesting to kind of get an insight into what people who are him, his type, very talented guys, are doing to run their business. And, you know, most of these guys aren't business people, quite frankly. They're out there being entertainer types, and I don't think a lot of these guys really have a good feeling for the business side. Now, that may not be true, but, you know, in my experience, you know, when I started the co-op, I knew a ton of entertainers, a ton of them. You know, Talktales brought in a shitload of entertainers. And when I started the co-op, I very specifically did not go out and talk to folks who were in the entertainment business, because I knew from talking to them, they didn't have any money. You know, these guys were pretend rich. They dressed nice. They went to red carpet affairs and they got, you know, comp for this and that and the other thing. But ask them to pay a couple hundred dollars a month for video? Fuck, they couldn't do it. In the live chat, we got Pops saying, what were you saying there? Pops, I want my own studio, but don't know if I'll be able to fund it just for personal. Well, if you want your own studio, Pops, like within your house, that's, you know, that's easy. If you want your own studio separate from your house, it just depends on the type of property. The place that I'm at right now, I got a nice deal. Before that, I was looking at mixed use places, which are, you know, warehouse in the back. That's where I thought I'd put the studio stuff, and some offices in the front. And when I was looking, it was like between 50 and 75 cents a square foot. Places that are more finished are more than that. But I negotiated a killer deal on the place that I'm at right now. And it's gone up a little bit every year. It's still, I think, for that kind of a place, a buyer's market. Real quick, we've got, I want to take one live chat question from Shad, who has been in the live chat many, many moons ago, but not for a while. And he asks, he's going to be in Vegas next week. Where's a good place to get a drink and chill? A drink and chill. Well, there's about 20 of them. Depends on what you mean by chill. And I don't know how old you are, so that will also dictate to some extent where I might go. So if we start at the south of the strip and just kind of move our way forward, I would say it's kind of cool to go up at, I just forgot the name. What's the place at the top of Mandalay Bay? Good Lord. It used to be called Mixed Lounge. I forget what it's called now. That's a pretty cool place to chill and get a good view of the strip. It's not cheap, though. You're going to spend top dollars for the drink. You're basically paying for that view. But it's quiet. You're not going to get a lot of people. It's not going to be loud. If you want to get in kind of a groovier place, but it tends to be a little louder. I'd probably hang out at the Cosmo. Foundation Room is... Actually, Foundation Room wasn't what I was thinking about, Jimmy, but that's a good place as well. And that's actually a bit quieter. That's actually a very good place. Cosmopolitan, the Chandelier Bar, it's pretty hard to beat that as kind of a cool place. But it's, you know, it's not a really chilly kind of place. I'm a big fan of Rum Bar at Mirage. Again, you can chill during the day. At night, they start bringing in live music, maybe a little bit less chill. But if you like that kind of music and you want to smoke a cigar and drink a mojito, that's a pretty cool place to go. As we continue to go up the strip, you know, I actually, one of my favorite places to go, quite frankly, is Capitol Grill. The bartenders there are really, really good. And I really appreciate somebody who knows what the hell they're doing when it comes to being a bartender and gets it. So that's it's a nice place. It's, you know, it's dark. It's the dark wood kind of vibe. I like that. If you go north, a downtown cocktail room gets a lot of good buzz. Commonwealth gets a lot of nice buzz. Anybody in the live chat have some ideas? I think that's pretty, those are all pretty good places to kind of just hang out and chill out. Quite frankly, it depends on what time you're doing this as well. Where else downtown might I go? Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Okay. Questions? Nope. Laundry room. Yeah, laundry room is great. So laundry room is the 45. Yeah, okay. So laundry room is fantastic. That's a Commonwealth, but it's the hidden room. You have to have a special phone number to call in and make reservations. I think it only holds about 15 people or so. I have a number. I've just never called them. But I've heard great things about it. It's supposed to be pretty fantastic. And I would also say that if you want if you go to Stratosphere Lounge 107 or the 107 Lounge, it's a pretty quiet place. You can go directly up there. You don't have to pay to get up there. It's got a fantastic view. That's nice. Where else? Oh, if you want to go off strip just a hair, I'd go to Urban Rye, which is on Sahara and Valley View. It's real close to our studio, actually. That's a fantastic place. Binky has just gave out the number to get laundry room, 702-701-1466. There you go. I'm sure that's not going to piss anybody off. Hey, let's have a drink. Have a drink on me. Have a drink on me. All right. It's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a speakeasy or a lounge or someplace to chill. I show you that picture, and then you send an email to Have a Drink at me at Vegas, or actually, I'm sorry, to Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. You send me that email, and if you have the right answer, we're going to put you in a hat, and you have a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Isn't that right, Pops?
Let me tell you what you can win.
That sounds great.
This week's Lucky Hat'em winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs.
Yes.
Chrism Acoustic 1, Chrism Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Hat'em entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney. Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. All right, music. Thank you. So you get one entry if you put in the correct answer. You'll get a chance to double your entries, maybe even triple. If you're the very first correct answer, we're going to give you another entry in the hat. If you're in the live chat and submitted a correct answer, we'll give you another one. If you submit a video Hat'em entry, we'll give you another one of those. By the way, there's some pretty magical things that do happen if you end up getting one of them, their visors. What, Scott? Is it really true? Can good things happen to you? Yep, they can. Because if you end up getting a visor and you take a picture of yourself and you send it in to us, guess what happens? You become a part of the galaxy of God. There's Michael Snow and Robert C. and Rosie, and then there's Mike and Scott and Vicky and Bud, Alan and guess what? They continue bees. And Bob and Buckleth and Danny and Shan, not Chen, and Craig Glenn, Jimmy Dugis, who's a fucking killer winner. Rob hasn't won as much as Jimmy. There's Ken in Hawaii. Stuart and Xena, who's all babies are because of our music. And Don
and Jang. But wait, we've got a bunch more too. There's Pops and Sammy and Carol and a dog. And Chris, whose heart stopped. And Preston and Scott. And of course, your buddy Wayne. And let's not forget Brett.
That a boy, everybody. Okay. Okay. Let's see what we got here. We got 19 out of 19. And here's last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. And the hints were tender at Luxor, tender at Luxor, tender at Luxor. Good food there, by the way. We had dinner there when we went to the Carrot Top show. Highly rated. By the way, we were talking to a friend of ours. Who was it? I forget what it was, but they asked us, what's our favorite show? And Melissa and I were like, Carrot Top's pretty fucking good. And they're like, Carrot Top? He's horrible. I'm like, no. He's not horrible. It's the funniest show in Las Vegas. There's nothing even close to being that funny. That's Carrot Top. Go see it. Put your happy pants on and go have a good time. Okay. So let's see what we got here. Okay, number one entry, Mike Q. He gets one for the correct answer. Mike gets one for being the first correct answer. Mike's going for a triple, baby, because Mike is in the live chat as well. So Mike just created a triple opportunity. Opportunity to win big. By the way, here's Mike's theme song. Next up, Monica Fagan from Chicago. Mike's from PDX, by the way. That would be Portland. Monica gets one for the correct answer. Monica gets one for being in the live chat. Monica's a previous winner, a lovely gal. She's from Chi-Town, as the kids say. Here's Chicago's theme song. Next up, we've got Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. We've got Mike Beatty. Hello, Mikey. Nick Grunwell. Oh, hello, Mr. Grunwell. I think he's a first-time entry. Thanks, Nick. We've got Andy in New Hampshire. What's happening there? Andy in New Hampshire. Boop. Tammy Mossbrucker. Boink. We've got Alan Perry from Arizona. Boink. We've got Aaron Perry. This is an example of doubling your pleasure as well. Husbands and wives, get in together. Be a team. Put your entry for the wife, your entry for the husband, or significant other. We don't care. We're on the Rainbow Coalition. And you've doubled your chances to win. We've got Robert C., Rob O. 68, Pittsburgh. One for the correct answer there. And we've got Darlene. Ugh, Darlene. No.
Tomahawk say no.
That name freaks me out, man. Trafficante. I'm guessing Italian. I don't know. Darlene. I wish you had a different name. Name does completely freak me out. And Michael Snow. One for the correct answer. All right. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Ba-da-dee-doo-doo. Laura Meekin from the Scotland. Oh, Snowman. Sorry about that, Michael Snow. Sorry about that. Whoops. Chicago Snowman. Thanks, live chat. La-da-dee-la-da-da. All right, Laura Meekin from Scotland. I hope you guys feel all right after the election. Oh, I feel fine. Can't feel anything. John Herman from New York City, who needs a drink after the election. John's from New York. He works for ABC. Guess who he was voting for? Kevin Whips from Canada. I'm meeting Kevin this Friday. He is a previous Have a Drink on Me winner, and we're going to be hanging out Friday at El Segundo Sol, I think we've decided upon. And Barb Shotness, who, what is she writing here? Let's see what that says. I hope it's not too late. Look forward to Tuesday's show. First of all, thank you for looking forward to the show. And she sent this on Monday. I get people who send me this about an hour before the show starts. So Barb, who's our clarinet virtuoso. Thank you, Barb. And we've got Steve Riley Finder, also known as Island Steve. So he gets one for the correct answer. Oh, Barb gets one too. Sorry about that, Barb. Barb gets a double. One for Barb. And then Steve Riley gets another one because he is in the live chat. One for the correct answer. Let's double check to make sure he's still in there. Yeah, you never know these people. Sometimes they're flaky. Island Steve. Oh, there he is. Okay, he's in there. Attaboy, Steve. And next up, we've got Michael B. from Chicago. Michael writes, you're welcome, Steve. Dear folks, first of all, his subject says, had him tender, had him sweet, had him never let me go. Dear folks, inspired for the bad pun in the headline, this week's had him is tender. Thanks as always, Michael B. from Chicago. Love me tender. Come on, everybody sing with me. Let's do it. Ready? Love me tender.
Love me sweet. Never let me go.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. And then finally, Pops. Pops first writes, la 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 la. This week's correct answer is tender steak and seafood. That's correct. At Luxor, I've always stated that my tender spot for this great staff at Luxor that gave my intoxicated son and his intoxicated friends a grand tour when they should have been thrown their drunk asses out. That was tricky using the photo of the outer bar as the clue photo on this one. I had to resort to watching somebody else's hokey virtual tour to be absolutely sure. The verbal clues made it as certain for sure, but the picture was awful hard to match with anything. Getting closer to Christmas. I gotta win me some Christmas acoustic. It's Pops, everybody. And he follows up with this video masterpiece.
Hey, kids. I know that absolutely nobody was paying attention last week, but
that's mean.
These nuts!
Had just a little bit of an accident. Oh, that wasn't good. Now, that was supposed to be fake. I was going to do some sound effects, maybe put in the Hindenburg crash. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but the D's Nuts bottle wasn't supposed to explode behind me. I knew it was a plastic bottle. The bottle didn't break. The top came flying off. But ever since I put the label on the D's Nuts bottle, it's been kind of a problem keeping everybody out of it. There's been a lot of times when I've had to say, hey, that's a prop, not a snack. Put that down. And now that I've swept it all up off the warehouse floor and it's got dust and dirt and cat hair, nuts and bolts, little pieces of wire and some fiberglass in it, depending on whether I like you or not depends on what I tell you when you grab the D's Nuts bottle. Yeah, some of you assholes to think about before you get into
D's Nuts!
There's nobody there.
Thank you, Pops. Pops is in the live chat. He's like, hey, I need all you guys to step up and send videos, guys. Help me out. I'm all alone. Sort of like the last time I had sex. Pops, you bad, bad boy, you. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. One for the video entry. By the way, Pops has won 4.5 of these bad boy Haddam wins. Let's see if he gets 5.5. All right, here we go. La-da-dee, la-da-da. Okay, that one feels good. And the winner is Chicago Snowman. By the way, he got the double. That was the double entry that made that happen for him. Congratulations, mi amigo. We will be emailing you out shortly. And you can win either a CD, a visor, or a drink on your buddy Scott. All right. Let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Here are your clues. Clue number one. If you were to type the name of this place on your American computer, your spell checker would freak out. If you were to type the name of this place on your American computer, your spell checker would freak. Hit number two. Now, if you live in Germany, your spell checker would be fine. If, in fact, you lived in Germany, your spell checker would be fine. And hit number three. But because this place thinks we're all a little slow, they have signs using the English translation for this bar all over the place. On the wall, on their menu. Come on, people, we can keep up. Hit number three. Because this place thinks we're a little slow, they have a sign using the English translation for this bar all over the place. If you know the answer, you're going to send it to where, everybody? That's right. Have a drink at me. I'm sorry, damn it. Have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Again, have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. All right, everybody, that's it. Hey, no show next week. I'm going to be traveling to Effingham. So I'm going to ask you all to pray for me because here is the sounds of Effingham. There's a lot of that going on here. By the way, if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's super easy to do. All you have to do is go to our website at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Click that little orange tab on the right side, and it'll pop up a box. You'll click Start Recording because you're a genius and you have a microphone attached to your computer. Hey, we're on iTunes. We'd appreciate it if you leave us a five-star review, either for the audio or video. We're on YouTube. A lot of folks find us on the YouTube. If you'd like us, hey, give us a thumbs up and share us with your friends. And besides those two guys, we're on Roku with over 73,000 accounts installed. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google Play, and, of course, VegasVideoNetwork.com. That's it, everybody. Thanks so much for watching us here. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. We're going to see you guys in 2 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Take care. Thanks, Bob.